What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Adam William Marathon, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Should I jump the fence?
Everything went crazy, so we're back with a two-parter for combat sports. We were going to kind of put them together, but everything was so crazy this week in both professional wrestling and the UFC, and this is going to be the UFC, the UFC side of things on this podcast. So this is going to be all UFC, and then we're going to have a part two. You can find out right here on Stick Boy, so make sure you go check out that. But Joel, what a crazy, crazy event. We went into this UFC, and the main headline was Conor and Khabib, and when this event happened, you and I had very different schedules at the time, but when the Conor Dolly thing happened, you did a separate podcast. You can go find out on Stick Boy. Go check out that and Joel's initial thoughts when he was talking about the Dolly situation. And then I had JD Lewis on from CG92, and we talked about the Dolly thing. So we had no shortage of talking about the Dolly incident. So I don't want to get too into it because we have archives of that. We'll talk to it a little bit as how it relates to this situation. So we had that situation, and at that point, you and I, let's just get to that before I overlap as we kind of go in a slow build here. At that point, when we first did that, you and I thought that Conor would be completely done in the initial sense of the Dolly situation.
Well, the Dolly situation is fascinating because I don't think anyone thought Conor was done. I think the general consensus feeling as time wore on was there was going to be nothing. The UFC has set a precedent now that their big stars can do whatever they want, but if you are middle of the pack or lower, as an example, a Matt Riddle, you're just tossed to the side. So this is really and truly this whole situation. The nucleus of all of this is the incident with Khabib and Conor's friend, training partner, whatever role he plays in Conor's life. And there's a lot of speculation on how did Conor get into that, into Brooklyn. Now, more than ever, is how did he get there, nowhere to go, and go to those locations?
It was those reporters, I believe, right?
It was reporters, but there's some speculation, not to be conspiracy theorists, but there's some speculation maybe that the UFC purposely was lacking in keeping an eye on things. They right. kind of let it happen. Because they saw an opportunity to maybe build something, and it got out of hand, obviously. A UFC fighter who was in the bus when the Dolly was thrown had glass in his eye. They had to perform surgery on him to remove the glass. So that's a whole big issue, but that's really is the nucleus of what happened at the end of this fight. At the end of this fight, I remember following along on Twitter and kind of keeping an eye on things because the Flames game was on. And just kind of like, okay, when's this going to end? I just kind of want to see the results of this. I never once imagined the end of the fight would be what it was. And then when you start to see Twitter suddenly blowing up because everyone's like, this is a mess, this is a travesty. I'm like, well, what happened? And then seeing it, it's like, yeah, those are two very key words in all of this.
Yeah, so the Dolly situation had happened, and I guess we didn't think that Conor would be gone forever, but I don't think, for sure on my side, I didn't think he'd be fighting this year. Just with the boxing stuff, and there had been a big back and forth in that. And it's not like he got a slap on the wrist. He still had to do some stuff, but it more or less was a slap on the wrist. So we come into this fight, and we knew there was a lot of animosity between these two, like we've never seen from fights before. It was obvious that things were heated, and we had talked about that on our two separate podcasts that we did at the time. And then the fight ends, and it was I got to say, too, it was a nasty chin grab, like a nasty grab that Khabib had on him. It was almost scary how he had it on him. You almost didn't think he was going to release it, but he did, and then that's when the chaos started.
Well, see, when he had that cinched in and the way he had it cinched in, it felt like you almost looked at the muscles on his arm. Like that's kind of what stood out to me, as weird as that sounds. They were like they were flexing, like they were exerting force through his arm. And he didn't end that force, like, and even with kind of a push off of Connor at the end of it, and then just the way he physically stood up after that, was this was a man, this wasn't a man, this was a beast, this was a killer, an animal, a guy that didn't look at Connor as a person so much, but as a target to be destroyed. And I mean, say what you will with UFC, that's kind of needed in the sport, is that killer mentality. We talk about Punk, CM Punk not having that killer instinct, and that being his downfall. Khabib definitely had that killer instinct, and it felt like you said, that they just wanted to have it cinched in, that they didn't want to let, he didn't want to let go, and it just seemed like a guy that if he could have gone another round with Connor and just toyed with him and beat him down further, I think he would have. If he could have, he would have broken Connor's arm. He would have broken a lot of bones in his body. And then the spit afterwards just kind of solidified the... I feel like the way that ended and the spitting on Connor was almost like the lighting of the fuse for this powder keg of a situation.
Absolutely. So he does a spit, and then he goes and talks shit to the Connor side, and then everything just goes absolutely mental. He jumps out the cage, does a coup de grace like motion outside of the cage, and it was just scary. I remember I was texting Joel at the time. It's like, oh, tapped him out, and then you're just kind of waiting for the press conferences. You know, there had been some talk, maybe is Connor going to retire from there, and maybe he'll more focus on the boxing side of things again, you know, because that had been the rumor for a while there. And then I didn't think I'd be texting the words Khabib jumped over the cage to Joel. But yeah, everything just started going kind of mental.
Yeah, there was, well, when you watch the video, and there's so many videos with so many different angles, and one of the videos shows someone within Connor's corner kind of goading him on, like the Rocky, just bring it. Yeah. And just with the mindset that Khabib was in at that time, it appears that he was like, okay, yeah, no, let's do it, and flies over there. And like you said, it was a coup de grace. I called it like a double leg crane kick. Like you see,
yeah,
like the single leg crane kick from Karate Kid, but it's with both legs, and he's just flying, and they're just, he's trying to hit anything that moves. And the issue with that is how close just regular fans are. How close people that are just there as spectators, not trained in any way in combat sports, is around there. And just the dangers of a arid fist, an arid kick, an arid whatever from Khabib as well as whoever he's going after. Because I don't expect someone to... If Khabib's come flying at me, I'm going to try to defend myself very poorly. But for the people that are there... that are probably trained in this, they're going to try to defend themselves. And then you've got people jumping into the cage and the sucker punches on Connor, Khabib's corner going after Connor, and just, and it's, again, it feels like we should, this is a storyline, and Vince has written this, and he's like, God damn it, this is the best storyline I've ever come up with. But it's not. It's real life, and all of this is happening in such rapid time. Police are involved. It was pandemonium. You still watch that footage, and you go, this is surreal to watch. This shouldn't be happening, because I did a little bit of research before the podcast, and I found out that with that win, Khabib is now ranked number 2 for the pound-for-pound fighter for UFC officially, and Connor drops all the way down to 8th.
Khabib, who's number 1?
Khabib's number 2.
I know. Who's number 1?
I don't know who number 1 is, but Khabib is number 2. And for a name that had a little bit of buzz from the Dolly thing, and he probably had more buzz among more hardcore UFC fans, more hardcore MMA fans, he is now shot up. This should have been his crowning moment. This absolutely should have been his defining moment of his career.
By the way, Cormier is number 1.
Cormier is number 1?
Yeah.
So then, yeah.
We'll get to him in a bit.
Yeah, he's it's very interesting in the line of UFC, but this guy has this moment-changing fight. He taps out Conor McGregor, which I mean, Nate Diaz has done it, but Connor is a big name. Connor is a household name right now in just
the world. He's probably the biggest fighter in the history of the UFC.
I don't know. That's a debate for another day. I don't want to go down.
Him or Chuck Liddell. In Canada, definitely not. It's GSP. Yeah. I guess it depends to what country you're in. In Canada, it's GSP. In Brazil, maybe BJ Penn. But I think maybe overall, maybe Connor. I mean, because of that fight with Floyd. But yeah, that's a debate for another day.
Yeah. Beating a household name like Connor, and it just kind of all falls apart. Just the whole end to the show is very kind of murky. They don't put the title on Khabib, but Dana White has confirmed that he is champion, and he's not stripping him of the title. So what did you think of the last little bit, the guys coming into the cage to Dr. Connor? And just...
Well, it was so interesting because, like you said, you were watching the hockey game at the time, and I was watching the fight, and it was really interesting fight because Khabib really dominated for the most part, but then it got to that third round, and then Connor was like starting to get some strikes and then starting to get more of his game. So it came to that fourth round, and you're like, okay, well, maybe Connor's going to relapse, and we're going to get a really crazy fifth round. And then Khabib just overall dominated, and you just kind of got the feeling as soon as he choked it out, you're just like thinking about the narrative in your mind. Just like, wow, is the narrative going to be about how good Khabib is, or is the narrative going to be that Connor's done? Will Connor retire? I think that's a lot that we missed out with that, is if he would retire or not. And then everything just absolutely went mental, and it was kind of hard to keep track of everything. And Joe Rogan, and sorry, I don't know who their new play-by-play guy is. I haven't really, this is like the first UFC pay-per-view I've really paid attention to in a while, because it was such a big fight. And say what you want to say, and we'll get to the overall landscape. Say what you want to say, and I do have a negative emotion to a lot of the stuff, and we'll get to that. But this brought so many eyes to the sport, and so many people care now about that the UFC 230 show now. It's the first time back-to-back UFC shows kind of have some buzz all of a sudden. But it was just such pandemonium, and it seemed, too, like the UFC both wanted to hit on things, but not at the same time. They tried to get away from what Khabib was doing, and they had like that high crane kind of shot. And in that time, you could see the one guy coming from behind and sucker punching Connor. He did egg on another guy during that, but he obviously didn't deserve to get sucker punched and all of that. And it's funny walking out of this fight after the Dolly situation, which I hated that they used for promotional material, because people's careers were in danger. People did get seriously hurt. He committed a terrible criminal act, and if that was anybody else probably in the UFC, they're going to jail and never fighting for the company ever again. And I hated that that was promoted. It was absolutely disgusting. And they took all that and somehow made Connor the babyface out of all this and made Khabib the heel. And no matter what the ration that Khabib has, it was unacceptable. And really, I'm just kind of shocked when I was texting you back and forth about everything. I am absolutely shocked that nothing of consequence happened in the crowd, that no civilian got hit or anything. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's because that if a civilian got hit, I hate to wonder what would happen to UFC as a whole, because they would suddenly have a lot more problems on their hands, and it just could turn into such a mess that could be crippling to this company. I mean, this is a company that just signed a deal with ESPN, and you could talk about the pros and cons of going with ESPN over Fox or staying with Fox and not going to ESPN. But this is a company that signed a deal with ESPN and has struggled in the last little bit for main draw pay-per-views that casual fans will pay money to go see. Usually you'd see bars packed to the gills for fights, and I think you still see to it to some degree. But I think right now you're not seeing as much. And I think this is a situation that then when Connor fights Khabib next, because it's going to happen, there's no way they're not going to do another one. Depending on where it is and depending on how everything works out, I think everything's going to work out fine. And I honestly think everyone's going to get away without
Would you do that on the Brock show?
No. You want to space that out, because I think the Brock show will draw people in.
Because they only have so many main events, right? I had heard some people suggesting you'll do that on the Brock and Cormier show,
no.
Which we'll get to Cormier, which I also have a problem with him fighting at UFC 230, but we'll get to that. You have to separate those two out. Like, there's no doubt it's a rematch. They'd be idiotic. My main question is, and I kind of want to get back to the riot too, but when Conor loses and nothing happens here, Joel, are we talking about a rematch? Because I don't think we are. Khabib got himself a rematch by doing that. If not, we're just like, well, Conor lost, and now maybe he'll face Tony Ferguson, or maybe Tony Ferguson is now facing Khabib because Ferguson beat Anthony Pettis, and Ferguson called out Conor after. So maybe that's the fight you go with, is Ferguson versus Conor, and Khabib is just chilling out, and we who knows who he's facing. But it would have been a much different conversation after the fight if it was just the basic ending to a UFC fight.
Yeah, no, it would be a vastly different conversation right now. And I don't think the media would have cared about this. I don't think this would have been on different news programs.
It would have been about Conor losing more than Khabib winning. It would have been like, is he done? Should he go focus on boxing? And it would have been a lot like Holly Holm and Ronda, right? I mean, we've seen, like you pointed out earlier, we've seen him tap out, we lose to Diaz, but that was still kind of in Conor's prime, and now he's coming off that loss to Mayweather, and now he's back in the UFC, and there's kind of a new champion now, and then maybe you're just going to get the dream matches, right, with Conor at that point. Maybe it's like, oh, well, I'll do the Silva one, or we'll do the GSP one, maybe that's the route we'll go, but it's getting to the point, like, his prime time going for championship fights may be done. And instead, the conversation is he gets a rematch. And here's the thing. They're going to do the rematch, and Khabib is still going to smash him.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because maybe...
He did have better stamina, I will say. It's just he could not get off the ground. He'd have to get off the ground, because the striking worked against Khabib. But we've seen Khabib wrestle a bear. So he's been good on the ground since he was a child when he wrestled bears.
Brian would be so proud right now.
I know, right?
I don't know. I don't want to call how that fight, because you don't know what training is going to be like, and you don't know what psychologically where Conor will be at that point. I feel like Conor came in, and I feel like Conor was almost kind of blinded by I don't know. It just seemed like Conor McGregor, he seemed like a fish out of water with the ground game. So I'm interested to see what happens. I mean, he knew Khabib's ground game before going into this, so this very well could be a home run for Khabib again. And by then Conor's kind of it's interesting to see where Conor's value goes from there. But I mean, we certainly don't. I don't want to call any predictions on that fight just yet. But I mean, This is going to happen. This is absolutely going to happen. I don't know if we thought Conor was quite done. I think a lot of people were curious to see where Conor McGregor was. I think a lot of people thought that Khabib was going to beat Conor because of the ground game. But I'm not necessarily sure if everyone thought that this was the swan song for McGregor. I mean, he can move on. He's obviously made a ton of money. So it's not like he has to keep fighting. I don't know. I don't think, just as a side note, you'd mentioned his name. I don't think there's any way GSP will have anything to do with the UFC after this. Because he seems like he likes honor and tradition and respect. And with how this has ended, I don't foresee GSP having anything to do with UFC ever again.
He is currently right now ranked the fifth pound for pound in the world, but he already had a problem with the way that the Reebok deal was done, and that was that. So, yeah, I agree. It'd be interesting to see what GSP did, let alone I just don't see them doing a GSP-Conor fight. And, yes, that would do tremendous money. I just don't see them doing that. Back to the cage stuff now. I thought Dana, in the heat of the moment, handled everything really well. I will give my tip of the hat to Dana of being the chief and the commander of the UFC and saying, like, I can't put the belt on you right now because if we do, it's going to possibly cause a riot and people are going to be throwing everything, so just please leave. I do agree with him suspending the purse for Khabib. I don't completely agree with him doing it for Conor. That was a little weird. What do you think about him giving the purse to Conor but not giving Khabib his purse, even though Khabib won?
I don't know. I imagine Khabib will get paid. I can't foresee that long term. I guess you can look at it as Conor really didn't do a whole lot afterwards.
He kind of edged on that one guy, but I think it was more him just kind of defending his team.
Yeah.
At that point, and then the guy came and sucker punched him from behind. And FYI, Conor canceled his after party of fear of death threats.
Really?
Yeah, that was reported by John Paul like this morning. So it's a very real situation, and that's why I'm almost hesitant if they should do this again, because what's saying that this is going to stop anything all over again when we're doing the weigh-ins and we're doing all that stuff? Like, I am concerned about having all that.
I am as well, but, you know, we can talk about all of this, but I think Khabib has to deal with his father, and from what his father was saying, it's very interesting, because one of Khabib's comments in the press conference was very much about the reason he did this was because of the disrespect to his country, his religion, and his father. But his father very much speaks of discipline and the importance of discipline. And the total lack of discipline showed by Khabib's side of things, it makes me wonder if next time Khabib's going to beat. And I mean, here's the thing: Khabib beat Conor McGregor. That's all people should be talking about is Khabib beat Conor. Instead, we're talking about a bunch of other stuff. I do wonder if Khabib comes in and being like, you know what? I beat you once. I'm going to beat you again. I'm going to drive you out of UFC. You're not going to get a paycheck again from them because I'm going to beat you so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see because, I would have fear of him being at weigh-ins and stuff like that because you don't know if something's going to get said that's going to set him off. And that's kind of a very wary situation, especially with a mouthpiece like Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised how Conor has been very subtle in this. I will say one thing about Conor. For as much of an asshole he is and cuts great promos, he does take losses pretty gracefully. When you look at the Mayweather one, I don't remember the Diaz one as much, but at least recently he took the Mayweather one really gracefully. And for the most part, like everything he's done to this point as far as social media has been very graceful.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, and that's you. When you're walking that high tightrope of being a trash talker, and you talk so much, and for Conor to be graceful is a good thing, because when you talk the talk, you better be able to take the lumps, and he took the lumps, and he's taking the lumps right now. It's going to be very interesting to see where this all plays out. Long-term effect for this makes me nervous that someone else, some fighter looking to make his name, is going to see this and decide to make a mountain out of a molehill and do something stupid. And I think this, again, is setting a scary precedent. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it, but I will mention it. The John Jones situation is already a mess of a situation to begin with, but we will not go down that rabbit hole. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But UFC seems to be setting scary precedents, and precedents that shouldn't be set for their fighters. You're very much kind of getting into Attitude Era WWE kind of style stuff.
Man, the fact that they say, the UFC fans say they have nothing to do with wrestling and they're not wrestling, this was the pinnacle of WWE here. They basically, Bill Simmons was on his podcast and pretty much like said it best. Like, this was the reason that they had fought it for so long and they finally gave in. Like, the reason that people are caring in the mainstream about this, my grandmother, English grandma, we call them nannies, she asked me about what this was about today.
Yep.
So you know that it's making an impact globally when you have your grandmothers asking you what's going on with this.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a good thing, but it also means you may have opened the floodgates for a lot more, and you very well could drive fans away with stuff like this.
They were my worst company of the year, just how they run things. And just because business is coming up now, and on this card, like, there's good fighters like Tony Ferguson that had a great fight with Pettis, but no one's going to even talk about that. Derek Lewis had a great promo, and that got him a fight, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. But for the most part, it's all about the brawl. And it was on House of Highlights on Instagram. It's one of the most searched videos. You go to trending videos on YouTube right now, it's half of the trending videos are different angles of it and everything, because people like anarchy at times, right?
Yeah.
And that was the draw in all this and what the fallout is. And it's not even when this rematch happens, whenever it does. I mean, I think if the Brock fight happens in January, I think this is the fight that could happen Super Bowl weekend that they normally like to do.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to be tuning in because, oh, Khabib and Conor will be such a great fight. They're turning in to be like, what's going to happen after or what's going to happen before. The fight is secondary in all of this. Like, UFC's not promoting the fight. They're promoting what could happen.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't tell me that footage is not going to be used over and over again in trailers and video highlights for...
Oh, of course it will. I hate that it is, but it will be.
Promotional. And it'll probably do... I think this fight did... I thought I saw from Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer that this did about 2 million buys. I can see the next one doing a lot more buys. This will be a lot of buzz, but I think this will be a very high for UFC. But once that rematch happens, what do you have to fall back on?
Well, that's my thing. Like, you're looking at the future fights, right? Like, you're looking at the Brock fight, maybe we'll circle back to some of this. I think we've hit a lot. Like, so Daniel Cormier, the UFC 30 main event has been very interesting. They were trying to find a show for MSG, and we kept on not hearing about it. And we were like, oh, well, it'll be that Nate Diaz match. That's probably what's going to be. But UFC was so determined to put a title on there, and they're going to be – they just keep on going harder and harder, like, Got to get a title until it finally got to a point where it was like, well, we're just going to have this woman's match, to a point where Ebanks, who no one really even knew who she was, including Joe Rogan. If you see the reaction to that fight being announced on the Joe Rogan podcast, it's actually quite humorous, of Rogan saying, all respect to Ebanks, but I don't even know who that is, and I'm the UFC commentator. So there was a lot of that this past week of, that's really the main event for UFC. MSG, no disrespect to the women, this is the most famous arena in the world. And then Derek Lewis had a tremendous out in UFC 229, and now him and Cormier are going to fight because Cormier, damn it, disrespected Popeye's chicken.
Yeah, that's the main heat for this. You go from disrespecting religion, country,
father
to Popeye's. So it's basically on the same level. I don't like
that he's taking this fight, man, because this is my main question for you. This would be fine. I like Derek Lewis. He's got some great attitude. Are you not risking a money fight with Brock Lesnar, though?
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely missing, because anything can happen. Cormier could break his femur.
Yeah.
Cormier could break his hand. He could have a severe concussion. He could break his jaw. He could break his arm. This is such a huge risk. I really like Cormier. As a wrestling fan, he loves wrestling, so it's great.
Yeah.
And I think he could beat Brock. I think he could. That would be a big moment for him. He has been through so much thanks to our good friend John Jones.
You will probably be getting a fight at... I mean, that's why it's kind of interesting for the UFC right now. They've had not as many, like, mainstream attention for the fights, right? And now... You've had this Connor fight. You're always going to get attention because of Connor. And a lot of that comes because Connor was really, really good. And the Mayweather fight brought in a lot of new fans for Connor. And then now you're going to have this Cormier fight, who was in the middle of the scuffle trying to calm down Khabib. He just seems like a really nice guy. So you're going to have this Cormier fight, and then it looks like it's going to be John Jones and Alex Gustafson around the December pay-per-view. And we already, if you long-time viewers of The One Fall, already know Joel's views on John Jones. So if you want to get into that later, Joel, you're more than welcome to.
No, you're good.
Okay. So yeah, they're going to have that fight somewhere down the road. But as far as this, I just think even if Cormier wins against Derek Lewis, and by the way, the turnaround for Derek Lewis is absolutely ridiculous. He just had a fight like this at this UFC, and he's going to turn around and now go to this just after saying like he didn't really care about fighting for the title, and now he's going to go right to this UFC. I don't really understand that as much. Like he knocked off Volkov. He got a KO in the third round, and he's a really good fighter. It was the first time I had really seen him. I'd seen him in a few other fights, but I was really watching this whole card this time for the first time in a while because obviously interest in the Conor fight. But really, a turnaround in a month for a heavyweight fight, I question Lewis doing that. And I think a lot of it is just they wanted a top belt for the MSG show. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but Cormier winning this fight doesn't do anything for him. It doesn't. You're not gaining or losing. Just hold the belt, hang out. And I know he likes the fight, but this Brock fight is going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest fight in the history of the UFC, other than, I guess, now Khabib and Conor.
I don't think Cormier and Brock are going to be the biggest fight ever. I don't even think they'd be in the top five. But for finances, for Cormier, this is huge. This is a guy that, more or less, I feel that when he beats Brock, not a matter of if, but when, he sets himself up financially. He can probably do a couple more fights.
I think he's going to retire after that, to be honest. He has said that he wants to do that fight. He wanted to do one more heavyweight fight, and then he wanted to retire with the light heavyweight and do one more in lightweight. So now I don't think he'll obviously cut down to lightweight and defend that title, right? So I think what's going to happen, Joel, is they're going to strip him of that title. And like that has been talked about, he's going to be stripped of that title. And then they'll put it up in a match between Gustafson and John Jones for that title in the December zone. And then he'll wait and he'll defend, if he beats Derek Lewis, this title against Brock.
Yeah, and then big payday. He'll probably do maybe one or two more fights, and then he's going to retire, and he'll end up in the WWE Performance Center.
Probably, but I think you got it right. It's the finances. He's costing himself the biggest payday that he's ever had against a big name of Brock Lesnar,
who is a big name in
the UFC, a big name in WWE, just a big name overall. Brock's one of the biggest stars in combat sports ever, and you're costing yourself that, like you said, if he gets hurt in training, if he gets hurt in the fight, if he loses the fight, then I don't even, like, I maybe they'll do Derek Lewis and Brock. I don't know. Maybe they'll still do Cormier and Brock, and he'll still have the cachet, but not as much as without the belt. And I think Brock coming back wants the fight for that belt, because you continually hear, and you're watching WWE programming, that idea of being the Universal Champion and the UFC Champion. That is something that Brock has been talking, well, Paul Heyman, his representative, has been talking about for the last year.
His advocate.
Advocate, yeah. I knew you were going to correct me on that.
Gotta keep you in line. It's going to be interesting. Is this the last big gleam for UFC? And then is it going to kind of go back to what it was before Ultimate Fighter 1?
You and I, just as casual fans, I used to watch every pay-per-view every month when they had the Pinnacle, right? When they had like the Chuck Liddells and the Tito Ortiz, the Ken Shamrocks, BJ Penns, yada, 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 GSP and Silva at their peak. And then it kind of seemed when Ronda lost to Holly Holm and then Connor left for the boxing that it kind of took a big dip. And it wasn't getting the mainstream attention
that deserves. And even like now, like looking at the pound for pound best in the world, there's still some terrific guys there, right? Like,
oh yeah,
Demetrius Johnson. I know he's not the champion right now, but I've always enjoyed watching him fight. TJ Dillashaw, who's the third best in the world, I've always enjoyed watching TJ Dillashaw. Tyrone Woodley, I've enjoyed watching him. Stipe Miocic is great. There's some tremendous women, like Amanda Nunes, obviously doesn't have the overall mainstream buzz that a Ronda Rousey does, but she should, because she's one of the, if not the best woman fighter of all time. And I don't know if they're going to do a fight with her and Cyborg. I'm not sure. The weight class have been out of watching the women fight for a while, but that's a fight that obviously could draw quite a bit, is Cyborg and Amanda Nunes. And I'd love Amanda Nunes to get more representation, but it's, yeah, it's definitely interesting where the UFC is, and it took a brawl and an assault to really get it back in the mainstream of action. And that was a week two when the Dolly happened, was during WrestleMania week. So it took away, as far as combat journalists, it took away from covering WrestleMania and everything that encompasses it, the Ring of Honor and Joey Janela and everything else that comes with WrestleMania and NXT, to talk about Connor and that assault that week.
Yeah, bringing everything kind of back, you're absolutely right. Like it was an assault that has kind of temporarily revived UFC. I don't think it's going to be a permanent revival of it, but I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just, you're going to look back on this and you're going to be like, man, I can't believe this happened. You got to see it and you got to witness it, but you can't believe this is how it played out.
Do you believe that there's any chance that Tony Ferguson gets this match first against Khabib, and they do that fight first, and then they do Conor?
No.
They just cash in automatically, right?
Yeah. You got to strike while the iron's hot. There's one thing we learned from pro wrestling at times, is you got to strike when the iron's hot. WWE's not good at it, but good wrestling companies are. And in this case, I think UFC will absolutely cash in. You saw that Khabib and Dana White joking on Instagram. So
yeah, I didn't like that. That was kind of scary.
Yeah, that's because
I had that with Connor being scared to go to his after party, fear of death threats, and you have Khabib threatening to destroy Dana's car. And I know it's tongue in cheek. It's still, I don't know. It did bug me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think he's semi-serious.
See, and that's the thing. You don't know.
And one of the last news and notes here for this UFC talk is Dustin Poirier is going to be injured and unable to fight Nate Diaz now to 230. So Nate Diaz is without an opponent right now. Dustin Poirier is ranked third in the lightweight division right now. So this would have been an absolutely huge fight for Diaz to really get back up the rankings. I don't know, and I haven't been, again, this fight did bring us back into the UFC product. When Ronda was at her peak and we were doing lots of UFC talk here, and I know Mo and them had done a few UFC chats as well, but we kind of drifted back. I think last year we didn't even do best UFC fighter in the world because of just how much we've been out of the product. But Nate's obviously going to be looking for another opponent, and I mean, who knows? Maybe they're going to do another quick turnaround, maybe for Tony Ferguson to get him back up in the ranks of, he just fought last one, maybe he'll fight again. I'm not sure who Nate Diaz is going to fight. I'm imagining next week when we do the One Fall podcast, it'll be condensed again into more of a overall combat podcast.
Yeah.
But as for now, it's a big blow for Nate Diaz, because facing Poirier, who's third ranked in the lightweight division, would have been a huge win for him if he could have got it. And if he lost, maybe that's the end of Nate Diaz and even any possible talks of Diaz and Connor facing ever again.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is it's such a fascinating time in UFC, just with everything kind of going on right now. You don't fully know how things are going to play out, and it just seems like when when it rains, it pours, and it seems like that's very much the case for the UFC right now.
I thought it was really important for them, if they were going to announce this Cormier fight when they did it, just because everyone is paying attention right now to what's going on in mixed martial arts. So announcing this Cormier fight was really important and crucial for them, because all the spotlight is on right now. You had the weird thing with Joe Rogan last week. It was interesting. Also, this just spoke a little bit. UFC declined. Stipe Miocic wanted a rematch and said that UFC declined his rematch at 230.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And the Sarah Eubanks is really mad that she lost her main event spot at 230.
Yeah. See, this is the risk you run because I don't know how it works behind the scenes, but I wonder if main eventing meant a bigger purse, more money, and now being knocked out of the main event means a little bit less money.
Well, she tweeted out, and I think this is kind of the perfect way to end this show because this kind of encompasses everything. She tweeted out earlier today, put me undercard, put me co-main, I don't care, but put me in the flyweight title shot. Dana White, I've earned my shot. This is my time. Quit running this like a circus.
And it has been a circus, so.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're talking about with this. The last thoughts here is, if this is anyone else on this card, let's go to the bottom of the lightweight division. If this is Dan Hooker or James Vick that did either one of those acts, they're fired.
Oh, yeah.
They're fired.
100%.
And I'm just picking out names and I'm trying to pick on people. I'm just picking out people that are the lower rankings. They're fired. They're gone. Matt Riddle, for example, that was a perfect thing by you. Had a few drug busts.
And marijuana.
Marijuana. That's legal in some states. We're not going to get into that. But was fired for that. And Dana was harsh whenever he was brought up about Matt Riddle. And now look at Matt Riddle now. But it's Conor McGregor. He is the LeBron James of the UFC. And now Khabib is a big star in his own right because of this. So there's no way you're going to cost money because guess what? If you let go of either one of those guys, Bellator is just going to come right behind you and sweep them up.
If they have the money.
If they have the money. But they'll try to make it work somehow.
Yeah.
So, Joel, any last thoughts for you?
No, that's it. That's it for me.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see what's going to go on in the world of the UFC. It has been an absolutely mental last few days. Joel and I really wanted to hit on this right after everything had happened, but scheduling issues, they happened. So, yeah, we're here right now. We'll see what happens more with Khabib and with Conor. I'm sure that fight's going to be announced soon. We got the Brock announcement coming soon. We'll see what happens with Jon Jones and the Alex Gustafsson fight as well. If you want to hear more combat stuff and you're a fan of professional wrestling, then Sick Boy right now is the place to be. We're going to be doing a part two. We're going to talk about New Japan, the WWE, and everything else. And so go stay on the Sick Boy page and go over there and make sure to go check out everything from We Talk. They have We Talk Comics, We Talk Music podcasts that are really great. Their movie series of Electric Boogaloo are fantastic. And go over to Fresh Take where we have Nostalgia Lane, NBA preview, NHL preview, tons of great stuff going on overall on We Talk podcast. So make sure you go check out all of that. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam Arbuthnot. Until next time, cheers.
Don't throw dollies.
Enjoy the day, people.